Today we have the honor of having Sky speak to us today. Sky is my niece, and what Tammy talked about this morning, Sky left the room, but that Sky is our miracle in the house because she had cancer. It's been 2 years now, hasn't it? 2 years ago, and it was not a good prognosis, and miracles happen, and she's our, I mean, we're all miracles, like, really, we are. She's a better one, she said. She's a very obvious miracle. So sometimes our miracles are less obvious. Another big rainstorm. Another big rainstorm. Oh, my. Biggest rainstorm ever? Oh, gravy. Okay, so Sky. So Sky's a miracle, and she's going to speak to us today. And she's also Jason's daughter, so my niece. And it was Jason's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jason. Happy birthday to you.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, guys, my dad's the ripe old age of 85. And you can tell, because he doesn't have as much hair as he did back in the day. Not quite as bad as Poppy over here, though. Oh. Hi, everybody. So, thank you, Jennifer, for the nice introduction. I know that I normally come up here and give a really, well, the one time actually that I came up here and gave a really dramatic tale of my entire cancer story, which I know you guys all just eat up. You just eat it up because it is quite the tale. But you've already heard that tale. And I have been up to more since the tale. I did not only beat cancer, I also am a college student. And I learn things in college, it's true. So as some of you know, some of you might not know, I'm currently a senior at Iowa State. I'm a senior. Yes, Iowa State University. We actually lost to the Jayhawks yesterday. That's sad. But I'm currently a senior at Iowa State. I'm studying psychology. I'm currently applying to master's programs to become a clinical mental health counselor to hopefully solve some of my family's illnesses. I don't know. I don't know if we can ever solve that one over there, but we can sure try. we can sure try. But yes, I am a psychology student. And so I'm really coming down to some of my more specific classes. I'm taking a class right now called The Psychology of Close Relationships. And it's taught by one of our tenured professors. Her name's Dr. Carolyn Catrona. She went to Stanford and then UCLA. So she's come up with a lot of pretty cool things. She's like 80 years old and she's still teaching. So she's pretty awesome. She wore a green wig on Halloween. I don't know. She was the only person dressed up in her green wig. That was all. But yeah, I'm taking a class called The Psychology of Close Relationships. And I've learned a lot from this class. It's actually probably been one of the most profound learning experiences I've had, just because a lot of the things that Dr. Catrona talks about, I mean, they're things that apply to our lives. We all have close relationships in our lives, at least we hope so. We also have a unit on loneliness, so it applies to everybody. But yeah, a lot of the things that she talks about are empirically based, and so a lot of these theories, I know a lot of people think that a lot of psychology is just based on theories, but there's actually so much research that backs these things that we learn about in these classes. So I'm gonna teach you a little bit about what I've been learning lately. and what it's been making me think about. But a big part of this class is we learn a lot about love. And so this unit has been probably one of my most favorite units, is learning about love. There's obviously a lot of different components of close relationships, but I've found that love, all of the different theories are just very fascinating to me. And it's fascinating that a lot of these really do apply to our real lives. So one of the big theories about love is called Sternberg's Triangular Theory of Love. It was developed in the 80s by Robert Sternberg. And it's kind of outlining some of the different components that make up different relationships within our lives. Has anyone heard of Sternberg's Triangular Theory of Love? Anyone familiar with that? So I'll outline it for you. So within this theory, there are three different kinds of love, and they combine together in different ways to make different kinds of love in our lives. So like friendship, like the love you might have with a spouse, love you might have with a partnership that has gone on for a really long time. There's just different kinds of love that this theory makes up. So there's three different kinds, there's three terms that make up this triangular theory of love. The first one is passion. And so Sternberg describes this as the intense physical and emotional desire that one might feel towards someone. So this might be like, kind of like, if you just have passions, kind of like your puppy love, when you have a crush on someone because you just think they're so cute. The next one is intimacy. So intimacy is that emotional connection that people share. And I'm sure that many of you have experienced this. Maybe with me, some of you feel like you have an intimate emotional connection with me because I like to talk about deep stuff, and maybe you do too. And then the last component of this triangular theory of love is commitment. And so that's the willingness to maintain a long-term relationship with someone. And so, yeah, like I was saying before, these different kinds of love can combine in different ways. You might have one of the different types of love, you might have two, you might have all of them. And Sternberg says that when we have all of these different kinds of love, he calls it consummate love. And so consummate love represents this complete love. It represents this love that we all are striving for within our marriages, maybe with our children, maybe with our siblings, with people in our lives. We are striving for this consummate love. So this love that has all the characteristics that Sternberg talks about in his triangular theory of love. So there's been other theorists that have talked about what love means. One of them is Lee's love typology. So Lee split love into six different types of love. So he talks about, and he uses Greek words to describe these different types of love. So the first one is mania, that's possessive love. The next one is ludus, he calls that one game playing love. The next one is pragma, practical love. The fourth one is storge, friendship love. Fifth one is eros, romantic love. And the sixth one is agape, selfless love. So when we compare these two theories, we like to do this a lot within psychology, because if you've ever been in a philosophy or psychology or sociology class, you probably know that a lot of times you're gonna learn like 17,000 different theories, but they're all saying pretty much the same thing, which is frustrating. But within these two theories, they typically say that consummate love and agape love are the same love. Both of those terms for this selfless, perfect love are describing what happens when we have all of these different components of what makes up love together, which is interesting. And I find that when I'm sitting in class sometimes and learning about these different types of love, it's kind of exciting. It's exciting to think about how now I have somehow the knowledge to create perfect love in my life. Maybe one day I'll have a husband and I'll be able to have the perfect love because I figured out all the different theories and the facts in order to make it up. And maybe with this perfect love, I'll be able to fix all the relationships in my life. And I'll be able to help other people fix all the relationships in their lives. Because now I have all the facts and all the theories in order to create perfect love. But something that Sternberg warns is that oftentimes the work that it takes for a human to somehow create this consummate love, this perfect love, has all the different components that we need as humans in order to feel fulfilled within love. Sometimes it's impossible. And sometimes all the work that we put into this love, I mean, the benefits don't outweigh the amount of work and the amount of stress that we put ourselves under to create this love within our relationships. So, that's disappointing. but, this is why I tell you all that. I often leave my class, so I have Psych 484, Psychology of Close Relationships, 9:30 to 10:45, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I often leave this class feeling a little bit like, it seems like there's something else. It seems like we learn about the theories, we learn about all these different ways that humans love, but it's like there's never a perfect love. Like we learn about, this is what perfect love is, but no one is even capable of it. And so it made me start thinking a lot about God's love. And of course I'm not learning about God's love exactly on a college campus, but you can learn a lot about God's love on a college campus if you just open your eyes to it. So one of the most famous Bible verses that you all probably are familiar with, but I'm going to read out to you, is 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7. In the New International Version, it says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not honor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." I think something really interesting about this verse, and when we compare it with some of our earthly love, is that this verse says always, 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 always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We can see in this verse that God's love is unconditional, everlasting, sacrificial, compassionate, caring, intimate, guiding, and universal. So now we know what love is. Now we know what human love is. And now we know what God's love is. But what do you think love is? What has the world showed you what love is? Because we can see all these different components. We see what the theorists say. We see what psychologists say. We see the research that they've done on the different components of love. And we see what the Bible says about love, what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Corinthians about what love is, who God is. Yet we still don't know how to love. We still don't know how to experience love. Take a second and think about in your life what you really think love is. Is love a relationship that failed? Is love a relationship with a child that failed? Is love a relationship with another person that failed? Is that what you think love is? Sometimes our experiences are very deceiving. And sometimes we can know a lot about love, but not know anything about love. Yeah. So, obviously our church is like rooted in the Father's love. La-da-da, Mimi and Poppy are always talking about it. Father's love, Father's love, Father's love. Spent like 34 years talking about the Father's love, trying to heal all that nonsense. We know a lot about it. I know you guys know a lot about it, but it's like kind of, sort of feels impossible. You can know so much about it, yet at the end of the day, we're still humans. Even the psychologists say, we are not capable of this perfect love. We're just not. I think that we can find a lot of comfort in that. We can find a lot of comfort in that because Jesus did a lot of things when he came to earth. He did a lot of things when he showed us who God is in human form. But I think one of the most profound things he did was that he showed us that he is the only one capable of this perfect love. And he showed us that he showed us just how imperfect we are and loved us anyways. And I think that's very comforting. Like I said, it's very comforting, but I think it also leads to a lot of hopelessness. Because it's hard to see where that love is on earth. We can read our Bibles and we can talk to God and we can listen to the theories that the psychologists have said, and we can learn and we can learn and we can try to experience, but as humans, it's really difficult to truly experience that perfect love and to feel that perfect love in our hearts and to be able to see. I know that so many people, it's so difficult to believe these things because we need it to be right in front of us and we need to experience it. And it's hard to believe all of these things when we've had so many experiences in our lives that have told us otherwise, that love is not sacrificial and it's not all-consuming and it's not perfect. So here's the next truth. You're not capable of perfect love. You aren't. God is. But where can we find that perfect love on earth? Where do we find it? We find it in him. We find it when we read the Bible, when we come to church. We find it when we pray. We find it when we worship. We find it in those conventional things. We can even find it when we're learning about love in a psychology class at 9:30 in the morning. I think, though, I'm a firm believer that God shows us love on earth in a lot of ways that we often are blind to. And I think that when God created us, he created us with this love in our souls. And sometimes we forget that it's there until we just open our eyes and look at it. So I'll tell you what love to me is. When I think about love in my life, love in my soul, love in the mundane things, this is what I think about love. I think love is a big hug from Mimi after I haven't seen her in a while, or laying my head on Poppy's shoulder as he watches one of his old man television shows. I think that love is the way that my dad smells after he's been out in the snow shoveling, like cold. He would always come in and put his hands on my face so I could smell his cold hands. And then he would warn us to be careful because it was slickery. Slickery outside. But he would always be the one that would walk out to the car and fall on his butt. I think love is my mom explaining to me a new home remedy she's found for better sleep because she knows that I haven't been able to sleep through the night in years. I think love is laying my head on Ruby, Mimi and Poppy's dog, and having her snuggle up next to me, even though she doesn't really like to snuggle. I think love is sitting with my brother on the couch at his house and having him ask me if I'm going to stay over for dinner, even though he'll berate me for days after about how I always steal his food. I think love is Mariposa's birthday posts for me every year, because she doesn't do a birthday post for anyone except for me. I think that love is in Yuki, my brother's dog, and how when she sees another dog, not other humans, but when she sees another dog, she cries and cries and cries because all she wants to do is play with the other dog. I think love is also some of those stray moments in the supermarket with a random old man because you made a joke about how your dad needs more hemorrhoid cream. and you and this stranger cry laughing in the aisle at Costco because that joke you made reminded him of his mom. And more naturally, I think that love is the way that even though when the sun comes up and the moon is supposed to go away, sometimes the moon stays up for a little while longer just to get a glimpse of the sun. I think that we might find ourselves hopeless sometimes. We might find ourselves hopeless because even the psychologists say that it's so difficult to create this perfect love. And even though we know that Jesus came to earth and showed us this perfect love, there have been so many experiences in our lives that have told us otherwise. And that's okay, you're human. But don't forget that love is all around you. And you know why? Because God is everywhere. Psalm 139 through 7 through 10 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." His love is never far from you. It created you. It's in the depths of you. And it's in the depths of this earth, and it's in the depths of your dog at home and your cat at home. It's in the depths of those stray moments in the supermarket. It's everywhere. You just need to open up your eyes and see it. That's all I have for you.